this is how it is. What is it? A lot of times we'll punch in sermons audio, and before we just get sermons, and it'll punch up Sermon Central, and it's annoying. And we finally got an icon on her. I don't know what you call it, but on the front page or a computer. I don't know all computer language, but lingo, but we can just click that. But it's always, but it was like, there's more people that, how that is by rating and by what people use. There's more there's more people using Sermon Central than listening to sermons audio. Well, Sermon Central is where preachers go to get messages. Because I thought, well, I'll click on it and see if Sermon Central is a competitor of Sermons Audio. And no, it's not. But anyhow, that's not where Daryl goes to get his messages. I'm thankful that I received my higher education down there in the dairy barn in the middle of the night when I work nights, and I'm still being taught the Lord. So, Lord, a lot of times will give me a thought, and I admire those that can do this. It's a wonderful thing that they'll have one thought, right, and they'll just drive that home, and they just go over and over and over again on that. Well, that ain't how, for whatever reason, that ain't how the Lord preaches me. I'm not saying that I preach better, because I don't. But I preach the way the Lord preaches me, right? And I've always tried to tie things together. A lot of times I fail, but I like, right? Rightly divide. You say, Daryl, you're trying to tie things together. The Bible says, rightly divide the word of truth. Well, and you're here trying to tie it up. But no, I'm trying to, right? In order to rightly divide the word of truth, that means to discern it. And that means to not apply it in the wrong application. That means if we can take this thought over here and then take this thought over here, we can bring them together, and then we can maybe see the tapestry that the Lord is creating in our life a little clearer. That's my attempt, right? So with that being, that's just the way my mind works, and for whatever reason, the Lord called me to preach. So a lot of times, I get a thought. Then we'll get this thought, and the Lord will begin to work in our mind, and we'll try to carry it out and try to extrapolate it, or try to unravel this thought, this thread of what the Lord's gave me. And then he'll give me another thought, and sometimes I call Daryl. I don't have ADD, because they didn't have that terminology when I was a kid. I was never diagnosed with it, but Daryl has his mind wanders, unfortunately, or fortunately, either way. And then a lot of times I'll get this other thought, and like sometimes that's another message. Then sometimes the Lord says, Daryl, I want you to come around, and I want you to bombard them with this, and then you circle them. That's how you win in paintball, and that's how you defeat the enemy. But you're not the enemy. But there are some that are in the chains of mine enemy, and I want to set you free. I want the truth of God to come around, right, and blindside you. Because you and the devil, a lot of times, you've built a button abutment, and you've heard the argument. See, there are some, and I'm really deeply concerned, right? They don't respect their pastor, and they don't respect their parents, and that's why they're not here. But I'm looking, and I'm trusting, and I'm believing that the Lord, though they build an abutment, and they have your help, my help, if we're living outside the will of God, they have everybody's help to build that fortress. But I like when the Lord comes around and blindsides us with the truth, and it's so powerful, right? Sometimes we get that done, sometimes we don't. And so we had two different thoughts. And these two different thoughts, as we're going to preach on them, you think, wow, yeah, well, this happened. And then days, weeks, Christ's ministry, approximately 3 years. And then way down the road, this happens. But then lo and behold, we get the Bible out, and they happen one right after the other. That this happened, and then within just and I understand that in a space of two verses, there's going to be a lot that happened, right? But in two books of the Gospels, both in Matthew, and if you want to turn there, and in Mark. These two things happen just like that. And if every one of us, if we study the scripture, we'll understand who Christ is and what Christ wants us to be. But a lot of times we just hear this or there. We take verses out of context. I love these apps that people have, and where they have the verse of the day, right? And a lot of people say, boy, that's really good and that sustains me. But if you're taking a verse, two or three verses here and then two or three verses there, you really don't get the full context of it all, right? And all it takes is one verse, right, to give us the light that we need to see with. But the Lord told us to study to show ourselves approved. He wants us to know more than a verse here and a verse there, all right? And so we're going to read in the 16th chapter of Matthew, and then we're also going to read in the 8th chapter of Mark. This account took place, and this is what's so beautiful. You can study the scripture many different ways. I like comparing the Gospels, right, on the same account that takes place, because a lot of times on one account they'll give you a greater dialogue on what one person says, and then it'll give you a short summation of what somebody else says. But then you read somewhere else, and it's just flipped, right? So it don't give you as much dialogue of what one person said. But the response is greater, and this is what we got going on right here today. So if you want to turn there, you can turn to Matthew in the 16th chapter, and we're gonna read in the 13th verse down to the 19th and or the 20th, okay? And it says, and when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Whom do men say that I am? I'll get this right. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, and or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. All right, now we could read on the next very verse. It says, and from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. We can flip on over and we can read the remainder of that if you would want to. And in Mark, in the 8th chapter, in the 31st verse, well, and he says, and this is it says a little bit different. He says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Do you hear what we say here? He was having a dialogue or a discussion with the disciples. And there are some, I know the Catholic Church believe that Peter was that rock, that Peter was the patriarch, as it was, of the Holy Roman Catholic Church. There's others that understand this to be a little bit different. That rock that Christ Jesus is going to build upon was was the declaration that Peter made when he said, when Jesus said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And this truth is what God has built on. The Bible tells us that the head cornerstone that the builders rejected is whom Jesus Christ is, and we are to build on that. So whether you would understand this scripture to mean that Peter's the rock, just a few verses down a little later, it says, he says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." And my declaration to you today is, what are you going to be? Are you going to be a rock? Are you going to be Satan? That Peter, within just a few moments of time, was declaring the truth and saying, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then when Jesus began to tell him what it was that he must do, Peter said, "No, Lord, you're not going to be killed. They're not going to do this to you." And then the Lord said to him what he said to Satan himself in the fourth chapter of Luke. And it says in the sixth verse, "And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." So here Satan was literally speaking to Jesus Christ after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And he more or less said, "Jesus, don't you do what you come to the earth to do. Do what I want you to do." And that's exactly what Peter said as well. "No, Lord, don't you do what you come here to do, but do what I want you to do. Let me stand in the way of these others and what they might do to you." And my declaration to you is, what are you going to be? Are you going to be a rock, or are you going to be doing the work of Satan? And each and every one of us have that potential in the very same moment. We can either choose the truth, or we can live a lie. We can either be a pillar in the house of God, or we could be a rock of offense and a stumbling block. But I declare to you, what you need to do is to do as Peter said when Christ Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" They say, "Well, this and that and the other." It don't really matter, does it? What the world says about Jesus, what do you say? And what are you going to do? And if you are like Peter in that moment in time, you too can build your life upon that rock. You too, all your hopes, your dreams, your desires can be handed over to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Or you could go the way of so many others, like Judas, that give up on the Christ. Why? Because the Christ wouldn't do what I want him to do. Let me tell you something. Being a Christian is an honor and a privilege. And doing the work of the Lord is a blessing. And it's as it says here, when Jesus told him, he said, "Peter, upon this rock I will build my church." And then just a little bit later, "Get behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men." Aren't you glad that in a moment's time the Lord can bring to our attention where we need to trust in him? Peter obviously had a clear
clear understanding of who Jesus was, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But he did not understand what he was to do in his ministration of the gospel. Now we can turn on over, if you want to, over into Ecclesiastes. And it says here, in the fifth chapter, in the ninth verse, it says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevaileth against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better, the Bible says, better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king, who will no more be admonished, for out of prison he cometh to reign. Whereas also he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor. We read that, and once again goes, well, our mind works. How can we tie these together? Yes, two are better than one. We've all experienced that, where even when you're working in a crew, a lot of times three are even better than two. But it seems like when you have four, there'll be a lot of times that one will be standing around. Why? Because when two are doing something, there's often times that you need another hand. And when you have another hand, he can come and he can lend help to the other two. And that leaves the other one, who also was working with one by his side, and now he has no help. But a three-man crew, one can go from one to the other, back and forth, and you can tend to what can be handled and what can be done with one. And then when you say, I need help, well, then that one can come. And it just seems to be, you ask somebody in business, that three-man crews a lot of times are way more efficient than a four-man crew. Why? Because constantly one is by himself and the other's helping the other. Instead of working off in pairs, two and two, and becoming accustomed to that, and then being forsaken, right? So here we find that the Lord is pointing out the benefits of there being two. But if you've been married to my wife, you can see where maybe two ain't so good. She's always complaining about me hogging the covers. But the problem is that we ain't together. Alright, I'm on my side of the bed and she's on hers. And sometimes when I roll over, I take the covers with me. Sometimes when she rolls over, she takes the covers with her. So we found out early on that two being together is just as bad as one if you're not together, if you're not of the same mind. And that's why the Bible says not to be unequally yoked. But we find here that there are those, as he's pointing this out, he said that when one prevails against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. There's the beauty in serving the Lord. Here's the beauty in being a rock and building your life on the rock, instead of being and regurgitating and repeating of the words of Satan. And how you do that is that you're never alone. Whether it's me, you, and Jesus, we'll get get something accomplished. But if it's me, you, and the devil, we're all going to go to hell. Oh, but I want to tell you something. It don't have to be me, you, and Jesus. You go your way. I'm going to follow the Lord. And it can be me, the Heavenly Father, sweet Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And if a threefold cord is not easily broken, how much better is it when we have a one that is fourfold? But the Bible says here, better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king. Two are better than one, except you would happen to be that poor and wise child that has succumb to the companionship of a foolish king. It don't matter. You say, "No, I ain't poor. I own the cattle on the well." My Lord does. I kind of overspoke there a little bit. Sometimes we do that, right? But I mean, if it's Jesus, it's mine, right? Well, no, it ain't. We need to know our place. But we have a father. We have a big brother. And yes, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. But you say, and so therefore you say, "I ain't poor." Well, the Bible tells us here that a foolish king can no, it says here, who will no more be admonished. And that is the definition of somebody that's foolish. There ain't no admonishing. Who are you? You're just a poor, yeah, you might be wise, but you're a poor child. If you was wise enough, or if you was as wise as me, you'd be a king. And ain't how that works, is it? A king's born. You aren't just like me or you. Have you ever stuck out your chest and been proud of who you are? Like you did something about it? Like you had something to do with it? I meant somebody, well, it don't matter who it is. When I started working at a place, and he said his name, and he said, "I'm a car." And I thought, "No, you're not. You're a man." But what he was talking about, he was part of the car family, C-A-R-R, and that I needed to go, "Oh, I understand." But I knew enough to know it don't matter who your daddy is or who your mama is. Each and every one of us, at some point, we're going to have to grow up and stand on our own 2 feet. And yes, you might have had a good father, or you might have had a good grandfather, or you might have had a good great-grandfather, but that won't buy you nothing, even though in the moment it might buy you respect. Didn't buy my respect, because Daryl was raised to respect everybody, whether you be rich or poor. But who can withstand a foolish king that will not be admonished? And it don't matter if he be your partner or not, whether you be poor or not, because the Bible says, "For out of the prison he cometh to reign, whereas also he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor." So whether you're poor or not, if you choose to join yourself with somebody that can't take admonition, somebody who thinks they're wise because of the position they hold, because of who their daddy is or who their mama is, beware. Because if you ain't poor, you soon will be. If it be you and that man or that woman. Why? Because any benefits that you might have, as it said here, when you labor and they labor, they mess it up, and you, and not only do they lose what they have, but you'll lose what you had. What else did it say? When you fall, don't expect them to be there to pick you up, because after all, who do you think I am? I'm the king. Pick yourself up. When you get cold, you can, no, you ain't going to cuddle with a king. Why's that? Because I'm a king, and these blankets are mine. Get your own. We can live in unity and have peace and be on the rock and base our life upon the rock, or we could in a moment's time start spouting the lies of Satan, and we will be as Satan was. Did you notice Jesus didn't say, Peter, I heard that from the devil way back yonder when I started my ministry and I fasted 40 days and 40 nights. No, he said, get behind me, Satan, because you, Peter, don't desire of the things of God, because you seek the will of men. What man? Well, the same man that Satan was trying to appeal to the fleshly desire. It don't matter, does it? Do what I want you to do, and you'll prosper. That's what Satan said. But Jesus had to do what the Lord wanted him to do, and I encourage you to do the same. Oh, but unfortunately, there are those, as we preached a long time ago, maybe last year, wasn't it, about the old horse leech. Flee from those that speak of the things of God as if they're something to be used as merchandise, or something to be used as a pawn on a chessboard. Or we can do this and we'll get our way. The cause of Christ is His cause, and we're to get in behind Him, and we're to lift Him up, as we already preached this morning. I love each and every one of you, and I want to see you in heaven. I don't know how long. I've told myself that I ain't going to be whittled on, I ain't going to be cut on, and the Lord calls me, I want to go. That's my desire. But each and every one of us, your appointment in time might come before mine, but it naturally goes as it will. I'll be in the grave before most of you, but we have no promise of tomorrow. But today, there wants to be a stone, not a stone of stumbling, not a rock of offense, bless your heart. I want to be a pillar in the house of God. I want to lift Him up. I want to proclaim the truth, and in doing so, I can build my life upon Him. Or I can repeat what all the world says. And what does the world say? Well, what Satan says. That's why that song blesses my heart so much. Something got a hold of me. Something tore me away. It was just a moment in time. Something tore me away from the lies of Satan. And then I found King Jesus at an old-fashioned altar, right? You say, Darrell, I thought when you first got saved, you got saved by your bed. Yes, I did. I don't know whatever come of that bunk bed, but in that moment in time, it was the altar of God. My parents prayed with me. I can remember, feeling so clean. I'd been lying and hiding and burying. You know, who was it? Somebody made mention of that. I think it was an interview with Alex Jones, one of the professional liars of some time. And there was an interview, and he said, I'm trying to get my act together. I'm trying to tell the truth. And he said, I want to tell you something. Now, he's not going to tell me and you nothing we don't already know. He said, when I was lying about this and lying about that, every time I spoke, I had to, how is what I'm going to say now going to affect the lies I've told? How is this going to reveal some discrepancy in what I said? He said, but when I started and decided, and I don't know, this could be a lie, right? How professional liars can choose to tell the truth, but that'll make them honest, right? And only time will tell. He says, but when I decided that I was going to speak the truth, he said, you wouldn't believe the freedom. It freed up my mind. He said, it freed up my life. Because now I wasn't spending 95% of my time trying to prop up the lies I told in the past with lies in the present. I'm not worrying about how this lie is going to affect me in the future. Did you see what he's talking about? He discovered something that these little children were singing about just a little bit ago, right? Tell the truth,
never tell a lie, because the wages of sin is death. Now, he didn't say that, but that's exactly what it is. And when you tell a lie, you might not kill your loved one instantly, but the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And I want you to know that when you sin, you not only sentence yourself to a devil's hell, but look around at your loved ones. You ain't helping them none. Only the truth. The Bible says the truth will set you free. But might I also add to that, that a lie will put you in chains. And what we need to do is declare the truth. The Bible says that a double-minded man, we've already preached on this, don't need to preach on again, but a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. What does that mean? Well, he don't know really what to do. Should he do this or should he do that? Well, yeah, that's true. That's exactly what a double-minded man and how he lives himself. He's conflicted. Don't know if I'll do this. Don't know if I'll do that. But also a double-minded man says one thing one minute and does something the next. What's that? That's a lie. At some point when you're conflicted, when you believe this to be true, and then you believe that to be true, and you base your decisions and your actions with the whims of this world, but God is from everlasting to everlasting. It don't matter whether it's politically correct or not to preach out this verse or that verse in the Bible. I declare the truth, and if it gets me in trouble, then it gets me in trouble, but it'll be because I told the truth and not because I told a lie. Because here's the beauty of it: you'll never get in trouble with Jesus for telling the truth. So therefore, fear not man that can only harm this body, kill it and put it in the grave, but fear God that can cast this body, both body and soul, into hell. So therefore, tell the truth. And when we tell the truth, we can be set free from all the repercussions that come with speaking a lie. A wise king. Is that what the Bible said? No, it's how'd he say? A wicked king that will not be corrected. A foolish king, I'm sorry. Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king. If you join yourself, children, to a foolish man or woman that will not take admonishment, your wisdom will perish. It's that simple. I can even see it with my own children. When my son got out of the will of the Lord, he listened to the lies of the spiritually dead. Oh, they went to church. You could even say that they were more modest. You could say that they were more devout than how he was raised. But that did not appeal to him to be more devout or more modest. But he only used that to tear down what he'd been raised in. Well, you know, we don't run around naked. We might not be plain. Some of us are plainer than others. And because we believe in everyone working out their own salvation in fear and trembling, you're to read the Scripture and then you're to obey the Scripture. But there's a lot of people that do no more than what they do out of tradition. Now, if your tradition is based upon the Word of God, well, then don't tell me about your tradition. Tell me about the Word of God. And when you tell me about the Word of God, then that, my friend, is something we can agree on. But there are some that are so wrapped up in tradition that they don't even know why they're doing what they're doing. They only use it to belittle a brother or sister in Christ that's not of the same denomination. And to me, that's a shame. But I've seen it. I seen where someone got out of the will of the Lord, my son in particular, and he become to be a critic. And he said, why do you do this and why do you do that? And then I began to tell him the Scripture. But that didn't do no good. You know why? Because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And you can't believe the Bible one minute and not believe it the next.
sooner or later. If you hang out with foolish kings or with wise paupers, if they don't believe in God, you'll go the way of them, unless you're going to win them, right? Oh, I'm going to win them. I'm going to declare to them the truth. And then what do? We see you taking on the things of this world. It usually don't work that way. I found that out. We was down at Grove Springs, and I had my derby hat on, and I had my old work coat, and I have a wool vest, and I had a shirt on that had a collar on it, and I wasn't in jeans, but I was in pants. But we just got done crawling around underneath the house, and I come in there, and it was to get gas, and I was walking. I was walking to the store, and there was a man, and I think it was right in the middle of the day, but I think he'd been drinking, because he kind of looked at me and he kind of staggered back, and he says, "Boy, ain't you dressed up?" And I looked at Elam, and I said, "Well, no, not really." I said, "But thank you anyway." Listen, if we follow after the whims of the world, well, then all we need to do is find a drunkard, and he'll tell us that we're dressed up when we're filthy from crawling underneath a house in the filth that's underneath there when you're doing sewer work. You know what I'm talking about. But that's not what man is to desire. We're not to desire the praise of men. We preached the message a while back, right? That we're not to avoid persecution. We're to expect it. Now, I'm not to do anything within myself to be to suffer for evil doing, as the Bible says. But it says suffer for well doing. It's letting us know that if you're a Christian, you're going to make enemies, not because you're arrogant or because you're ignorant, because if that's why you're making enemies, shame on you, but because you declare the truth. When somebody comes to you at work and says, "What does your church believe?" Just go ahead and tell them, "It don't matter what my church believes. When the Lord comes back, my church, the building, is going to burn up in a fervent heat. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. And when this earth passes away, the Word of God will still be up there in glory. And I'll be with it." And then tell them what the Word of God says. And they can walk away and say, "Boy, ain't they a pompous, pious jerk." Well, if they do, it won't be because you're a pompous, pious jerk. It's because you told them the truth. Because quite frankly, what our church believes, if it ain't the Bible, we'll not stand the test of time. And so if it ain't the Bible, we'll get rid of it. And we need to follow the Word of God. And we need to have book, chapter, and verse of why we're doing what we're doing. Why? Because it is the Word of God that makes men wise. It's not an education received by man, but it is an education received by God Himself, a higher education. I can remember my one guy in particular. When he heard that I was a preacher, he said, "Where'd you receive your higher education?" And fortunately, don't tell nobody this, but I was the first Tinsley male to graduate high school in my line, right? My grandfather went to the second grade. My dad dropped out in 10th grade or 11th grade, I can't remember which. His brother dropped out. My cousin Chris dropped out. And that's why I sometimes have longed, I wished I went to college. But goodness sake, when I graduated 12th grade, it was like graduating college in my family. Because I had cousins that were females that had graduated, but I was the first one, right? And so this guy come up to me and he says, "So I hear you're a minister." He said, "Where did you receive your higher education?" And I thought about that for a little bit. And I said, "Well, no stucco dairy barn." I said, "The Lord called me to preach." And we went back down to the barn. And my grandfather was dying and I was mourning because in my mind, he was the best preacher I'd ever heard. And here now, he was going to be buried. And the messages he preached wouldn't be going out no more. And I said, and so I determined in my mind that though the Lord might not have called me to preach, that I wanted the old-time religion. I wanted to
pray in the Spirit. I wanted to sing in the Spirit. And then for whatever reason, the Lord called us to preach in the Spirit. But I received my higher education, not learning Greek and Hebrew, but I received my higher education by getting into the Word and letting the sweet Holy Spirit speak to me. If it's something you avoid, I appreciate the honesty that we heard here in a testimony, right? We know when we're undone, don't we? When the Spirit of God begins to move on man, whether he be praying or whether he be preaching or testifying, we want to be somewhere else. We know when we're getting cold on the Lord. When the Lord brings it to our mind, it's time to pray, Daryl, and it's like, boy, I don't want to. Or Daryl, it's time to read your Bible. Well, you know, I need to read this other. But that's letting you know right there, right? You don't have to see it wrote on the wall like the Babylonian king did. The Lord's telling you. He's saying, look unto me, and we want to look away. And when we want to look away, you better beware. Because just like old Balaam did, right? He turned his face to the wilderness. When God had spoke, and he had spoke, and he had spoken, every time he told Balaam something that he didn't want to hear. At some point, Balaam did not go out as he did in times past, but he turned his face to the wilderness. Beware. I'd encourage every one of you today in this very hour. You can either be a stone, right? You can be a rock, not a stone, but a rock. Or you can be doing the will of the devil. Might Christ Jesus have victory in your life. Let's get some song to sing.